Today, Trump's tariff tidal wave swamps markets with stagflation incoming. Hello again, it's Martha North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update. We start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and cover commodities and crypto along the way. The 2nd of April, or T-Day, will go down in infamy, as global markets have since lost around $6 trillion of value, as the global world trade order was trashed. The US now accounts, by the way, for 70% of the global equity market, up from 40% during the global financial crisis. So what happens over there is pretty important. CNN's Fear and Greed Index fell to 4 out of 100, falling deeper into extreme fear territory. It was 7 after the previous close and 21 a week ago. A year ago, it was in neutral territory at 53. And in fact, investors are now asking two key questions. What makes this pain stop? And where do you hide? US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, the former hedge fund manager, who the market hoped would be the voice of reason in President Donald Trump's second administration, did an interview with Tucker Carlson on Friday night amid more carnage on Wall Street. And remarkably, he claimed that it had nothing to do with the tariff war launched by his boss. For everyone who thinks these market declines are all based on the president's economic policies, I can tell you that this market decline started with the Chinese AI announcement of DeepSeek, Bessent told conservative commentator Tucker Carlson. Well, things got so wild that Warren Buffett's team had to make a public statement after Trump shared a video on social media that suggested Buffett endorsed Trump's apparent plan to send the share market down 20% on purpose to ultimately revitalize the US economy. While the 10% level of tariffs are now in place, and the higher levels calculated on the back of an envelope, it seems, will follow, but it's not clear whether they are here to stay, or whether they're a negotiating point of departure, or an attempt to drive yields lower, thus easing the US deficit. Jerome Powell on Friday said the Fed expects US growth to fall and inflation to rise, which sounds like stagflation to me, and acknowledged the tariffs were larger than had been expected. China responded with a matching 34% on many US goods, and Canada imposed 25% tariffs on cars to the US, while other countries are circling the wagons, trying to maintain the existing world order, even as the new world order is emerging. This is not going to abate anytime soon, and there are going to be consequences for households, especially US households, and businesses and countries. We're in the wild west of a trade war right now, said Mariam Adams, Managing Director at UBS Wealth Management. Trump likened the process to a surgical operation on a patient, stating it was an operation like when a patient gets operated on, and it's a big thing. I said this would exactly be the way it is. And he further predicted that the markets, stocks, and the country will experience a boom. Yeah, there's a pig flying past my window just now. In fact, the global MSCI index dropped more than 7% this week, while the European Stoxx 600 index fell 8.44%. On Friday alone, the FTSE in London dropped another 4.95%, while the Dow was down 5.5% and more than 10% over the past month. The S&P 500 dropped 5.7% on Friday and was down 11.5% over the past month, while the Nasdaq fell 5.82% on Friday and is down 13% over the past month. The ASX in Australia fell 2.44%, but the Australian dollar, meanwhile, seen as a liquid proxy for the yuan, hit five-year lows against the greenback after China announced additional tariffs on the US goods on Friday. What is clear so far is that big US firms who've been investing in global supply chains to source cheaply and mark up massively to sell branded goods like Nike and Apple, I write on the front line. Future cash flows are at risk, so stock valuations are rightly down, with Apple down 25% year-to-date and Nvidia down 29%. Bank shares extended their declines from Thursday as well. The industry has been clouded by fears that a trade dispute could temper consumer confidence, reduce spending, weaken loan demand, and pressurize fees from advising on deals. JP Morgan Chase, the biggest US bank by assets, sank 7%. Wall Street titans Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley dropped more than 7% each. Shares in major luxury and footwear firms did reverse slightly on Friday after Trump said Vietnam's leader Tu Lam has offered to reduce tariffs on US imports. Ralph Lauren shares were up 2.5%, while Tapestry rose as much as 3.6%, and Nike gained 4%, and Lululemon Athletica rose 3%. Those stocks had initially fallen after retaliatory tariffs by China, a major revenue contributor, and were well still down across the week. On the data front, US Labor Department reported a higher than expected job increase in March, but Trump's tariffs may weaken the labor market as business confidence drops. Investors will look for signs the stock market may be close to at least a short-term bottom after Trump's tariffs rocked global asset pricing this week. The benchmark S&P 500 lodged its biggest weekly drop since March 2020, and the Nasdaq Composite on Friday ended down more than 20% from its December record high, confirming the tech-heavy index is in a bear market. Even with the more than 20% pullback, by the way, the index's components remain expensive relative to history, with a price-to-earnings ratio still above the average of the past two decades. So for bulls, that's a worrisome sign if a recession is in the offing. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished the week well over 10% lower from its December record high, making a correction for the blue chip index. And with the steep slide at the end of the week, the S&P 500 was down over 17% from its February 19th all-time closing high. More volatility could well be in store ahead of the April 9th deadline that Trump has set for his reciprocal global tariffs to take effect after his Wednesday announcement of the levies that sent markets into a tailspin and lifted fears of a global recession. Investors downgraded their economic and earnings forecasts, with JP Morgan, for example, suggesting the risk of a global recession this year has risen to 60% from 40% before. Some investors held out hopes that Trump would negotiate deals in coming days with some countries that would roll back some of the tariffs. Others were dubious that Trump would make any concessions at all. Despite Trump's opportunity to pivot, it is not lost on us that the window is shrinking and some damage to consumers and business confidence may have been done already, regardless of the negotiated ending point to follow, Citi strategist said in the note on Friday, which I think is spot on. We see a lot of uncertainty in the earnings outlook at the moment, said RBC Capital Markets strategist on a Friday note, in which they cut their 2025 earnings forecast for the S&P 500. And one other sign of gloom to note is the volatility index, which is an option-based measure of investor anxiety. It registered its highest closing level since April 2020, up 50.93% to 45.31, which, by the way, is a new three-year high. Bearish sentiment in the American Association of Individual Investor Surveys reached 61.9%. That's the highest reading since the 2009 financial crisis. Investors have been factoring in more Federal Reserve interest rate cuts this year in the wake of the tariff announcement, with the Fed fund futures accounting now for 100 basis points of easing this year, with the 10-year Treasury down to 3.999%, while the two-year at one stage fell to 3.64%, though the prospects of higher inflation ahead will mute the Fed's ability to cut. Over the past 2 days, two-year Treasury yields have fallen about 26 basis points, their biggest two-day move since August. Trump urged Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell to lower interest rates. In a post on Truth Social, Trump stated that the current period, characterized by declining energy prices, interest rates, inflation, and a 69% drop in egg prices, would be an ideal time for a rate cut. And he also highlighted the increase in jobs over the past 2 months, referring to it as a major victory for America. Trump has consistently criticized Powell for his management of interest rates, suggesting that he is always late in making adjustments. His latest post on Truth Social reiterates this criticism, urging Powell to stop playing politics and cut interest rates. The greenback, which slumped to a six-month low against a basket of currencies on Thursday, has been smacked around by rapidly flowing news on those tariffs and also countermeasures from other countries. It rose slightly on Friday to 103.04, but it's still more than 5% down year-to-date, which is a big move in what is generally accepted as the global reserve currency. Some in Trump's administration are talking about the benefits of a weaker dollar, but of course there are consequences too. Bank of American strategist led by Michael Harnett said, easing financial conditions via falling stocks, oil, yields, and the US dollar do have a potential opportunity for a revival of risk appetite sometime. However, he cautioned that if those moves were driven by weak payrolls and fears of fiscal slippage, this would be very bad news for risk assets. The truth is, nobody knows, not even Trump, where this is all going. So we must expect more uncertainty and volatility ahead. HSBC analysts predict that the ongoing shift from US equities to international markets will persist as concerns about US growth and the impact of tariffs intensify. In fact, on Friday, JP Morgan Chase Bank's chief US economist Michael Ferrelli revised the bank's economic outlook sharply downwards in the light of the recent tariff announcements by the Trump administration. The bank now expects the US real GDP to contract, forecasting a full-year growth rate of minus 0.3%, a significant drop from the previously projected 1.3%. This anticipated downturn is expected to increase the unemployment rate to 5.3%. In addition to the GDP contraction, JP Morgan has adjusted its core PCE and inflation forecast upward by 1.4 percentage points to, wait for it, 4.4%. Despite this inflation increase, the bank still anticipates the Federal Reserve will initiate an easing policy starting in June. JP Morgan expects the Fed to cut rates at every meeting through then from January, bringing the top of the federal funds rate target down to around 3%. The bank notes a risk of delaying easing rather than earlier start, though. Oil prices retreated again on Friday and were on track for the worst week in months after the US trade tariffs raised risks of a global recession that could weigh on oil demand. Brent futures dropped 6.9% to $65.98 a barrel, and US West Texas Intermediate crude futures fell 7.6% to $60.34 a barrel. Both contracts declined more than 6% on Thursday, with Brent looking at its biggest weekly loss in percentage terms since October and WTI since January. Add into the negative sentiment was Thursday's news that eight members of OPEC Plus plan to accelerate production increases. Gold futures for June delivery were down 2.59% to $3,056 a troy ounce, but that still reflects a fifth straight weekly gain as traders assess the implications of the tariffs. While gold typically benefits from market uncertainty, some profit-taking emerged late on Thursday and into Friday as investors booked gains after the metal's recent rally. Still, the broader environment does remain supportive of bullion, but prices of silver dropped to over eight-week lows on Friday as concerns about demand for the industrial precious metal dominated sentiment due to recession fears stemming from the tariffs. Silver typically tends to move alongside gold, but industrial uses such as electronics and photovoltaics account for more than half of global demand, estimated at around 700.2 million troy ounces as at 2024. That's according to the Silver Institute Industry Association. While gold traditionally is seen as a refuge from political and economic uncertainty, it's touched multi-year highs. Of course, this year, silver has struggled to break through the 12-year peak of $34.87 an ounce that it hit in October 2024. At $29.53 an ounce, silver has dropped 9% since Trump's latest tariff announcements last Wednesday. British stocks plunged on Friday as investors avoided risky assets after China's retaliatory tariffs against the US heightened worries of a global recession. The blue-chip FTSE 100 touched a more than three-month low, down nearly 5%. That's the largest daily drop since March 2020, when world markets slumped due to COVID-19. The mid-cap index slipped 4.4%, closing at a 16-month low. Both the blue-chip and mid-cap indices saw their biggest weekly declines in 5 years as investors sold equities and rushed for safe havens, such as government bonds. Goldman Sachs lowered its economic outlook for the UK and flagged more downside risks for the euro area's growth following the new tariffs introduced by the Trump administration. The bank cut its UK growth forecast by 0.1 percentage points to 0.7% for the year 2025, reflecting the harsher than anticipated imposition of a 10% reciprocal tariff by the US. Goldman Sachs maintained its inflation forecast for the UK, expecting the Bank of England to reduce interest rates to a lower terminal rate of 3%, down from the previously projected 3.25%. Banking stocks slipped as investors fretted about the growth in the world's largest economy and priced in far more central bank rate cuts amid tariff concerns, with the banking sector down 6.3% to a three-month low. The index of precious and industrial metal miners dropped 8.5% and 7.5% respectively, and gold prices did fall nearly 2% as traders liquidated their bullion positions following wider market sell-offs. European equities tumbled even lower on Friday, adding to the previous session's weaknesses as the sweeping US trade tariffs raised concerns of a global trade war and a severe drop in economic activity. The DAX index in Germany plunged 5.1%, while the CAC 40 in France dropped 4.3%. And the DAX volatility index was up 3.04% to 2114. Data on Friday showed German industrial orders stagnated in February, and the January data was upwardly revised, indicating that Germany's industrial sector could have bottomed out after a period of prolonged weakness. Germany's manufacturing sector showed signs of recovery in March, with its first production increase in nearly 2 years. That's according to the HCOB German manufacturing PMI data. UBS Global Research revised its target for the long 10-year German Bund, lowering it to 2.6% from the previous 2.7%. The adjustment comes as the balance of risk indicates a potential drop in Bund yields, particularly if US tariffs on European Union imports exceed 10%. In Asia, China announced a 34% tariff on all imports from the US, effective from April the 10th. That's according to the official news agency. China also placed curbs on the export of some rare earths to the US. China's decision comes in response to a similar 34% tariff imposed by the US on Chinese goods, escalating the ongoing tariff war between the two nations. The US's new levy on Chinese goods is actually in addition to the 20% tariff previously announced for a total levy of 54%. The purpose of the Chinese government's implementation of export controls on relevant items in accordance with the law is to better safeguard national security and interests and to fulfill international obligations such as non-proliferation, China's Commerce Ministry said. In his first comments on Friday following the retaliation from China, US President Donald Trump took a defiant tone in a post on his Truth Social platform. He said his policies would never change. To the many investors coming into the US and investing massive amounts of money, my policies will never change, Trump said. This is a great time to get rich, richer than ever before. And in follow-up comments, Trump said China played it wrong, they panicked, the one thing they cannot afford to do. Actually, China and Hong Kong markets were closed on Friday, but on Thursday, China's yuan dropped to its lowest level in 7 months and stock markets slumped after the tariffs were announced in the US. Countries in China's supply chain were hardest hit, with Vietnam, Cambodia and Laos facing tariffs between 46 and 49% respectively. The tariff hike was larger than most market participants were expecting, and so the initial market reaction is likely going to be a continuation of risk-off sentiment, said Lin Song, chief economist for Greater China at ING. China's blue-chip CSI 300 index fell 0.6% to a two-month low on Thursday, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng index fell 1.5%. Escalating trade tensions could also complicate Beijing's plan to spur economic growth, targeting a 5% growth rate in 2025. And Trump has also signed an order to close a trade loophole used to ship low-value packages duty-free from China, known as de minimis, which will take effect on May the 2nd. Ray Dalio, the founder of Bridgewater Associates, suggests that the United States and China could negotiate a deal to strengthen the Chinese yuan in exchange for reduction in tariffs. He recently met with senior Chinese leaders and shared those insights on a recent post on X. In Korea, on the 4th of April, the Constitutional Court unanimously upheld the impeachment of President Yoon Suk-yeol, providing a respite from potential political turmoil. The decision averts a possible radical response from the powerful opposition party, which would have been likely if Yoon had made a comeback. The market is currently factoring reciprocal tariffs of 25% on Korean exports to the US, which is close to the worst-case scenario. That's significantly higher than the 10 to 15% initially anticipated by the market, potentially prompting a downward revision of earnings expectations. In fact, Macquarie analysts believe the final tariffs will end up being lower than 25%, indicating some potential upside. They stated, "We favour the competitive export sectors like semiconductors, auto, defence and shipbuilding over domestic players like consumer and banks." Cosby was down just 0.86% on Friday. But in contrast, Japan's Nikkei 225 led the regional declines, falling over 2.4%, having fallen by as much as 5% the day earlier. The index was at its lowest level since early August 2024. The TOPIX declined 3.5% and was on the brink of entering a correction territory, down 20% from its peak in July, meaning that it's in a bear market. Losses in Japan were also attributed to a stronger yen, which weighs on exporters, with the US dollar Japanese yen at 147.05. Japanese megabanks ended the week with the biggest losses since 2008 in one of the market's most upsetting signals so far about the consequences of Trump's trade war. The banking index fell over 8% on Friday, recording a 20% decline for the week. That's the worst weekly performance on record. And shares of Mitsubishi Financial Group, one of Japan's biggest banking groups, fell 11.6%. That's the sharpest one-day drop since August the 5th. The Bank of Japan governor said the central bank would scrutinize the impact of US tariffs on the country's economy when setting monetary policy, warning the higher levels will likely weigh on global and domestic economic growth. Indian stocks also fell on Friday. At the close, the Nifty 50 lost another 1.49%, and the Indian VIX was up 0.83% to 1371. Australians have lost an estimated $90 billion from their superannuation funds in the share market rout triggered by the Trump administration's global trade reset, which economists say is likely to trigger a round of interest rate cuts to bolster consumer confidence. The Australian share market's ASX 200 tumbled into correction territory on Friday, which is marked by a 10% decline from its previous high following a brutal session on Wall Street, where $3.85 trillion was wiped out from the S&P 500 index following a brutal session on Wall Street. The S&P ASX 200 dropped 2.4% to 7,667.8 points at the market's close. Over 1 week, It's lost 3.9%. That's the biggest such fall since 2022. And local investors should take note, the ASX futures are pointing to a further drop of 4.29% to 7,388 at Monday's open. In Australia, investors fled banks and technology stocks. Data center play NextDC dropped 6.4% to $10.65, and Life360 sank 9.8% to $18.01. The big banks all had extended losses too, with Commonwealth Bank down 1.5% to $154 and Macquarie tumbling 9% to $134. Energy stocks tanked after OPEC Plus shocked the market with a decision to lift supply in May three times. Brent crude plummeted more than 6% in one session, and the index bellwether Woodside sank 9.1% to $20.40, and Karoon Energy posted the largest loss on the exchange, diving 12.2% to $1.37. Companies most exposed to U.S. tariffs attempted to reassure investors over the impact of their cost base and supply chains. For example, car accessories maker Emotive plummeted 16.7% to $7.32, despite warning tariffs would not have a material impact. And meanwhile, Ansell, which manufactures medical equipment, lifted 3% to $3.22 after it promised to fully offset tariffs through pricing. Sounds inflationary. Iron ore in Singapore slipped to $98 as the big miners were hit, with BHP down to $36.82 and Rio Tinto at $112.70. While Australia escaped relatively lightly on Liberation Day, with the US only applying a 10% import tariff on its exports, the direct impact paled in significance to the indirect implications of the US slapping Chinese exports with an additional 34% levy, taking the net tariff in the manufacturing powerhouse to, well, something like 65%. Despite increasing the likelihood that Chinese policymakers may respond with further support measures to boost the domestic economy, something that would usually benefit Australia via increased commodity demand if it includes higher infrastructure spending, the Aussie cannot shake the long-held market mindset that it's a China proxy, underperforming against a variety of European currencies on Thursday. The Aussie dollar, which fell to its lowest level since early 2020, was last down 4.42% to 60.49 cents. And by the way, similarly, the New Zealand dollar was also down 3.42% to 55.96 cents. The Aussie dollar actually posted its largest weekly loss since May 2020, and it was also at 46.83 UK pence. Ouch. Finally, in crypto, Trump's statements and trade policies have added pressure to traditional markets and contributed to Bitcoin's gradual decline too. Reaction buying has remained limited as selling pressure has built up since February. While the crypto market's internal dynamics are strong, the dominance of ETF-driven trading has made traditional market influences more pronounced, and this has kept Bitcoin from acting as a safe haven and is increasingly being correlated with riskier assets like stocks. It was last at 83,876, showing some resilience compared to the broader markets. But this market insecurity is, I think, set to continue as the tariff game is played. And this is a world-class science experiment driven by Trump and his team, with significant and long-lasting collateral damage well beyond the US. And as I discussed in my recent post, the basis of the calculations are largely political, and the potential implications are enormous. Many will need to reevaluate the potential future earnings from stocks, and so their value. Stocks which generally have been priced for perfection, and which are still some way off from their fundamental value. So volatility and more falls need to be expected. So duck and cover as stagflation enters center stage. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.